You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 102.7 FM.
The Alberta Tar Sands Extraction Project may sound like it's not in the province of British Columbia, but it will have a huge impact here as materials are transported to and from the actual tar sands. Blair Redlin is a researcher with the Canadian Union of Public Employees who's been following the tar sands issues. He visited the area in Alberta earlier this year, and he's joined me in the studio to talk about the impact of the project on British Columbia. Good morning, Blair.
Good morning, Mordecai.
First, give us a sense of the scope and nature of the tar sands project in Alberta. You visited there not too long ago.
In almost every respect, the size and the impact is mind-boggling. They're denuding an area of boreal forest the size of Florida. They're using vast quantities of water out of the Athabasca River system. A 2006 report from the Alberta government said that the planned projects, there will not be enough water from the Athabasca system to support the projects and keep the river flowing. It's Canada's largest growing fastest growing source of greenhouse gas emissions. It's causing immense damage. For example, a plague of cancers to the people of Fort Chipewyan, the Cree people that are downstream from the projects. There's approximately a million barrels of oil a day that are now being produced from the tar sands, and it's having a huge impact on the Canadian economy in terms of the value of the Canadian dollar, and which is having consequent effects on the manufacturing industries in Canada. So just in every respect, it's a absolutely a key public policy issue for all Canadians. So we should all be paying really close attention to what's going on there.
We hear about other projects in the world being mammoth, but I've heard this referred to as the largest industrial project in the world.
Exactly. It's the largest industrial project in the world, and there was a report done earlier this year by Environmental Defense that said it was the most toxic project on the planet as well. It's just supersized in every respect.
And there has been discussion about, I was going to ask you whether there's been any actual finalization of that, of using atomic energy to be another source to extract oil energy. I mean, it's mind-boggling in its insanity.
Royal Dutch Shell and Chevron are working with Atomic Energy of Canada Limited and a private company in Alberta to explore the option of using atomic building nuclear reactors in Alberta, CANDU reactors. Part of the issue there is that they're using absolutely massive quantities of natural gas to fire the tar sands system, and there's a concern about whether the source of gas will be available for the extent of production that they want to do. I mean, so and that's the use of natural gas is one of the reasons why one barrel of tar sands oil produces approximately three, perhaps as much as five times as much greenhouse gases as a regular barrel of oil. So there is, but they're not exploring the atomic option because they're concerned about greenhouse gases. They're exploring it because they're concerned about the source of supply of natural gas, which is another big impact for Canadians who should be using this natural gas for our own purposes, heating our homes and whatnot. It's worth noting that the tar sands oil is almost 100% exported out of Canada. So the market for this oil is not for Canadians. There's some amount of it used in Alberta or in the West, but the vast majority of it is to be shipped and is being shipped south to the United States and in the future over the Pacific to Asia.
So that brings us into BC. I mean, we have the mountains that often make us psychologically think Alberta, well, that's somewhere else. Different world. But what does this giant project have to do with British Columbia?
Well, in order to meet these export targets that they've got, they have to ship the bitumen, the tarry substance that is produced and has to be shipped elsewhere to be refined. The plan, as set out through the Security and Prosperity Partnership, this integration agreement between Canada and the United States and Mexico, in 2006 there was a working working group of the SPP that set out the plan for tar sands development, projecting five times as much tar sands production as there is today by 2030, and double what there is today by 2015, and that the vast majority of that, as I say, is to feed the U.S. Market, but also markets in Asia. And to do that, they need to build pipelines. And so there are a series of pipelines that have been approved by the National Energy Board or that are underway or proposed to the United States to refine the bitumen in the United States. But there's also a couple of very major pipeline proposals that would take bitumen from Alberta and send it through British Columbia, through the interior of BC, to a super port at Kitimat, or an expanded port at Kitimat. And the intention there is that oil tankers would take the bitumen from Kitimat to either California or to China. As well, a substance called diluent, which is a condensate that's needed in order to move the tar sands through the pipelines. You might think of it as like paint thinner. It has to be imported into Canada and to the tar sands. So it's actually happening right now that tankers of diluent are coming from Russia and landing at Kitimat, and they're taking them by train up to the tar sands. The intention proposals of these pipeline proposals is to have export pipelines taking bitumen out and import pipelines taking diluent in to Alberta. And so there are two major pipeline proposals to Kitimat. One is the Enbridge Gateway Pipeline, a $4.2 billion proposal. It's the one that's that's furthest advanced. But also energy giant Kinder Morgan has proposed an extension, a leg off of its existing Trans Mountain Pipeline to connect from Valemont over to Kitimat. And so they too want to build a pipeline to Kitimat. And the one of the main ecological concerns that this raises is that there is currently a moratorium on oil tankers off the north coast of British Columbia. This has been in place since 1972. The federal government has said that there should be no oil tanker traffic off the north coast. If this vision comes to fruition, obviously there will be tankers plying the coastal fragile coastal ecosystems of BC, possibly, as I say, and taking some amount of it down to California and taking large amounts to China and elsewhere in Asia. So those are the major pipelines through the interior of BC. There's also a connection here locally in that Kinder Morgan has its Trans Mountain Pipeline connects down to terminals and tanker farms in Burnaby, and it's not clear right now that tar sands bitumen is being shipped through Burnaby and on to the United States, although it may be. But there are plans as the Trans Mountain Pipeline expands. There's a Trans Mountain 2 proposal now, and then they've got a third expansion proposal that there's every likelihood that there's going to be tar sands bitumen moving through Burnaby and perhaps on tankers in the Burrard Inlet as well.
Is there any indication yet of any refining being done? I know the refineries have to be quite specialized to deal with this heavy tar oil.
That's right. And the Chevron refinery in Burnaby is proposing to expand, but there's no indication right now that they're necessarily going to be refining tar sands. In fact, the general plan for tar sands refining is that it not be done in Canada, which is, is a real concern in terms of jobs, but potentially also in terms of the environment. I mean, this is very extremely dirty oil. We arguably could put regulations in place to be refining it in a more sustainable way if it was done in Canada. Although this leads to a whole series of contradictory arguments about whether we should be doing this at all. But I guess I'm saying that if there is going to be this massive expansion, I mean, just to add insult to injury, we're sending all the jobs and all the opportunity to do it in a sustainable way to other countries. And all of this is being shipped out in raw form from Canada.
There, you mentioned the shipping by boat down the coast and through the Georgia Strait and the dangers of that. Is there evidence that pipelines themselves have a risk in terms of contaminating the soil by breaks in the lines or leakages?
Certainly,
and so on?
They do quite often break and leak, and then there's of course a certain amount of damage in the construction of the pipeline itself. Concerns about wildlife, and so the First Nations along the proposed route of the Enbridge pipeline have expressed a lot of concerns. A number of major First Nations groups, like the Carrier Sicani Tribal Council and the Haida First Nation, have formed their own consultative process to say that they want to be seriously engaged. Most of this is moving through unceded territory of these Aboriginal communities, and they're indicating that they're not very impressed with that. There's a role here, a major role for the Campbell government in all of this. Gordon Campbell makes a big deal about climate change in his statements, and as I said, this is fastest growing source of greenhouse gas emissions in Canada. The whole tar sands project can't move ahead without these kinds of pipelines to export the product. But in this last spring's throne speech, the Campbell government announced its support for what they called an energy corridor moving through this region. They, in other words, they mean these pipelines. And Gordon Campbell made a speech recently in Kitimat indicating his strong support for expansion of the Port of Kitimat to deal with these kinds of this kind of tanker traffic and these kind of pipelines. So, it's pretty hypocritical to be so supportive of this kind of tanker traffic and these pipelines while pretending to be concerned about climate change in your other policies.
That expansion is partly facilitated, you mentioned, the Security Prosperity Partnership, this kind of secret corporate government negotiation that's going on. There's another level of negotiations as well called TILMA, sort of adjusting laws locally from province to province and between Alberta and BC. Is that also sort of another conscious wing of this tar sands project?
Very much so. I mean, the Trade Investment and Labor Mobility Agreement, TILMA, is an investor rights agreement that builds on and in fact worsens some of the provisions of NAFTA and these other kinds of trade agreements. And it says that neither the government of Alberta or BC can be pursuing measures that are discriminatory to investors, and that they can't be pursuing policies that are essentially, it lowers the playing field so that the standards in each province have to go to the lowest common denominator, and gives corporations the right to sue local governments or provincial governments for their public policies. And so we can envisage, for example, local communities along the pipeline route saying that they're not in favor of this. They want to pass zoning or other requirements in order to prevent it or mitigate it. It's not unrealistic at all to imagine oil companies suing those local governments for interfering with their investor rights.
What's being done now to bring these issues to further public attention in British Columbia?
Well, as you mentioned, a group of activists from here in the Lower Mainland joined with some Albertans and went and visited the tar sands in March, and we're continuing to meet sort of informally, and we hope to sponsor a series of public forums in the fall around BC to educate people about the tar sands. There's also a group that's formed that's called Tar Sands Free BC, and they're working to work with local communities that would have where the tar sands will have some impact in BC, and to educate and inform them. So that kind of work is nascent, but we have strong links with the people, particularly in Edmonton. There's a large number of civil society groups in Alberta that are working to slow down or to stop the tar sands. There's a major campaign called No New Approvals that over 60 major organizations, including the Alberta Federation of Labor, has signed on to say that at a minimum we should not have any new approvals of tar sands facilities, quite apart from whether the existing ones should be shut down or reduced.
And where could people keep up to date about this? Is there a website or some network? Or?
There's a lot of websites.
Maybe too many.
Hey? Yeah, well, I think tarsandstruth.org is a good one. And Tarsands Free BC doesn't have a website currently, but I think that if you look to Greenpeace or Environmental Defense or a number of others, that you can certainly get a lot of good information about the tar sands.
Well, thanks for coming in this morning, Blair.
Thanks for the invitation, Mordecai.
I've been speaking with Blair Redlin. He's a researcher with the Canadian Union of Public Employees, CUPE. And as he says, if you want to get more information on the issue, you can check out Tar Sands Truth or one of the environmental organizations like Greenpeace. Thanks.